How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into our broadcast again. We're picking up our study here in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse number 12. The Lord Jesus has been to Bethany. Mary has anointed his feet with this very costly perfume and ointment, and Judas has grumbled about that because he's a thief. The Lord says you can do good for the poor always. That was Judas' complaint. But me, you don't have always here to do for. And so it was a blessing and significant in the anointing of the Lord Jesus unto his burial. Many of the Jews are coming from all the region about to see Jesus, to see Lazarus. The priests have taken up a thought to put Jesus and Lazarus to death because of their hatred of the Lord Jesus. And then and many coming to salvation and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the Lord's miracle in raising Lazarus. They saw his power and that he is indeed trustable and that they can put their faith in him. In verse 12, it says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Save, Lord, we pray. That's what that cry of Hosanna means. Save, Lord. Save, Lord. We need you to work. Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel. Of course, there would maybe be those that misunderstood, certainly the apostles, the disciples did, thinking that the Lord Jesus would come in and defeat the Romans, cast them out of Jerusalem, and set up the nation of Israel again. There were those that looked for a Messiah in that way. They misunderstood the scriptures. They misunderstood the scriptures that Messiah was going to come for the salvation of souls, for the giving of the atonement, for the shedding of blood, and the sacrificing of a body sinners. They misunderstood that. They saw the Messiah as being one that would come to deliver the nation. And of course, Jesus will come. In his second coming, he will come to deliver Israel and to put every bit of authority and dominion that is in opposition to the Lord. He's going to put that down. But he came first as Savior. He came as the atoner, the redeemer, the sacrifice for sinners. The Lord here entering into the kingdom and entering into the city of Jerusalem. They're taking palm branches and laying those before him. They're taking their clothes and laying down before him. And they're crying, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, verse 14, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, the fulfilling of prophecy again, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. He comes meek and lowly. He comes not with the pomp and the ceremony and the flash and all the ornaments of a king, but he comes meek and lowly. He is a Savior for sinners, and he comes bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows indeed. And so he comes here on this ass's colt. Verse 16, these things understood not the disciples at first. They didn't get it. They didn't understand how it was. They didn't really understand how it all applied. But when Jesus was glorified, when he raised from the dead, when he was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. So after the Lord's resurrection, they were enlightened. They were illuminated to understand even the application of the Old Testament scriptures and that Jesus fulfilled them even in this. Verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. They saw it. They heard it. Those that were there when Lazarus was raised from the dead, they were there also when the Lord made this entry, and they certified, they testified that these things indeed were fulfilled. For this cause, verse 18, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And so their testimony went abroad, and others came. Then Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And so they're saying, we're losing control. That's what that is. That's what that's code for. We are losing control. We cannot take this. We cannot suffer this to be. Look at how everybody flocks to him. They desired that praise. They desired that honor and that glory. They desired that kind of thing for themselves. It is only due unto the Lord. That's the thing about leadership, especially leadership in the ministry and in the churches of the Lord Jesus. It is a calling. It is not a vocation, it is not a job or a career, but it is a calling. And when the Lord wants somebody to be promoted, when the Lord wants somebody to be honored, he will take care of that. And may we beware when we are honored, even in the service of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord, when we are honored, may we always defer that to the Lord Jesus Christ. To his name be praise and honor and glory, because he is due all. But honor comes from the Lord. We need to submit. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to serve him. And when and if he wants us honored, when and if he wants us praised, he will take care of that. And then if we find ourselves in a position of being honored and praised, may we always defer that it is the blessing of the Lord upon the servant of the Lord. And so these Pharisees are saying, oh, don't you see? We can't do anything against this. Everybody is going after him. Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. So these are Jews who are Greeks that have come down for the time of Passover. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. And so there are these Greeks, these Jews who are Greeks. They come to worship at the Passover to fulfill that. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they want to talk to Jesus. They have inquiry with him. They come to Philip and they ask him to seek audience for them before the Lord. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, verse 22. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Philip says, well, these guys over here, they want to talk to the Lord. What do you think, Andrew? And so, well, let's go tell the Lord. And so they, Andrew and Philip, both go to the Lord Jesus and tell him. Listen to Jesus' answer. This is an answer. This is not an answer of pride or of. This is not an answer of pride, or the Lord being too full of himself, or anything. We don't need to misunderstand that. It could be misunderstood that way, and it's not. It's not an answer of pride. What this is what we see here in the scripture is an answer of focus. The Lord Jesus is focused upon that which the Father has given him to do. The time is drawing nigh. The time is drawing near that he, the Son of God, God himself, will give himself a ransom on the cross of Calvary. It's been prophesied. He is heading that way. There is nothing that men can do to change it or to alter it. Yet men are going to be the ones that are going to be found guilty of doing this to the King of Glory. He will be crucified. He will die. and the Lord Jesus and all of his and his entire existence, which is everlasting and eternal. He is never God in no way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has never tasted of death. Yet the Son of God has become a man for that very purpose, that he might taste of death for his people. He, deserving death and not one iota, by not one speck, not one spot of sin or disobedience or sinfulness in him. He is perfectly innocent, yet he is going to taste death for his people. He is going to enter into death that he might destroy death. But this is real for him. This is real for him as God. This is real for him as man. God, who had never had anything or any touch with death personally, is now going to enter into death that he might defeat death. And so this is an answer of focus. Keep that in mind. Verse 23 of John 12. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." On the other side of this, he will be glorified. He has an earthly body. His glory has been squelched down. It's been pushed down. It is there and available to him, but he has laid it aside, if you will. It was manifested on the Mount of Transfiguration. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," verse number 24, "except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." He says here, here's the example. That seed of that corn, it must go into the ground and die. And with the way the Lord has designed it, when it dies, then it can spring forth and bud forth into new life. And that one kernel of corn that goes into the ground and dies, when it grows up into the tender plant and then on into the stalk and then yields the fruit, it's always going to yield a multitude more of corn kernels, isn't it? That's right. That's the way that it is. But if that kernel does not go into the ground and die, then it will be abide there alone, and it will not yield a multitude, but it'll yet be singular and alone. He says, "Except that corn of wheat shall fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life," verse 25, "shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." So the Lord says, if I don't die, I'm not going to bear fruit. But I'm going to die that I might bear much fruit. And if you and I, he speaks to us, if we don't die to self, sin, and the world, we'll abide alone. And we will abide alone in hell and the lake of fire forever. But if we die to self, if we believe the Lord, if we look to Jesus in repentance and faith and confessing our sins before God, he saves us, he saves the sinner, we will bear fruit. "He that loseth his life, loveth his life, shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world," there's the key, the Lord gave his life in this world, "shall keep it unto life eternal." How about you? Are you a sinner? You need to be saved. And you need to die to self. You need to die to the way of this world. And you need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that you may live. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.